This is Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. Today was the first day back at work for the new year for many of us. Congress gets back to work tomorrow, and there's a lot on their plates. For one thing, it's an election year, if you haven't heard. There's a renewed push also by the president to ratchet up control on guns and a lot of other issues, including criminal justice reform. To help us ring in a new year of conversations with the Massachusetts congressional delegation is Representative Michael Capuano, a Democrat who represents the 7th District that includes Somerville, Randolph, Chelsea, big portions of Boston and Cambridge and elsewhere. Congressman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Lisa. Nice to talk to you again.
Let's talk roads, first off. Before the holiday break, you worked in the conference committee for the Fixing America's Surface Transportation Act, known as FAST. Now, the president signed this $305 billion funding bill into law last month. It includes $5 billion in funding for Massachusetts over the next 5 years. What's going to get better? And please tell us absolutely everything.
Well, the most important thing is that the Commonwealth will now be able to make more stable plans as to where they will spend their money and what they will do with it. The last several years, we have been uncertain as to what we might be getting in each from 1 year to the next. That is, uncertainty is over for the next several years. That's the most important thing.
And so specifically, where will the money be going? I mean, you said we'll be able to plan. What's first on the agenda?
Well, that'll be the Commonwealth is the one who makes that decision. The money comes to the Commonwealth, and they make the decision. They do split some of the money with the local communities, and they can make their own decisions on smaller projects. But the bigger projects, it's the Commonwealth, the governor's administration, that makes that determination.
To help get the $5 billion, though, does the congressional delegation, and did you were the only New England representative on this FAST conference committee, do you have to promise certain things, certain projects?
No, not at all. I mean, what you do is you just make sure that you're part of the situation, the part of the table having that discussion. For me, obviously, Massachusetts has done quite well on transportation over the years, and there are always other states that want to do better themselves. I understand that. Sometimes they look to other states to grab their money, and that's been the situation in Massachusetts now for several years, mostly since the Big Dig. Other states say, oh, look, all the money you got, it's our turn. And, of course, my answer is you're more than welcome to do well by your state, but you are not more than welcome to take what has been ours for many years.
And where would you like to see the money go?
Well, I mean, I have my own district, obviously, and my interest is mostly subway and transit, because in Greater Boston, obviously, other than fixing roads, we're not building new roads or new intersections very often. We are fixing them. We are fixing bridges, things like that. My focus has been on subway and on rail, mostly because that's what's the expensive part of my constituency.
Okay, let's look at one thing, and this is actually service roads, Sullivan Square in your district of Somerville. Would this funding mean some kind of fix to what is a really chaotic situation? There?
It could. Again, Sullivan Square is owned by the City of Boston, so the City of Boston would have to work with the Commonwealth to access the federal money. I have been pushing this for years. As a matter of fact, that's one of the areas where when we did earmarks, there are several, I can't remember exactly, I think it's like $15 to $20 million sitting in unused earmarks right now for the Rutherford Ave. Sullivan Square corridor, and that was done years ago.
How much did you say?
I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head. I think it's like $15 to $20 million. I'm not sure the exact number.
How could that be?
Well, the city hasn't, the old administration never actually used the money. So it's sitting there, and it's ready to be used. It's not enough to do the project. The project would be much more expensive than that. But it is certainly additional funding that they could access if and when they get going. And my hope is that as we get closer to the agreements between Wynn and the City of Boston, everybody wants to fix Sullivan Square, at least so they say. My hope is we get that project going.
You said that rail lines are one of your priorities. I wonder, could this money be used for the Green Line extension into Medford and Somerville?
In theory, it could, but the Green Line extension has its own pot of money called New Starts. Matter of fact, part of this bill, part of the appropriations bills, includes $150 million for the Green Line extension as the first down payment on the $1 billion that the federal government said that they would share. The Commonwealth could put more money into it. They could use some of this federal money to do that. That would be, again, it'd be up to the Commonwealth.
It'd be up to the Commonwealth. What say do you wish to have in the matter, though?
I wish to have all the say in the matter, wouldn't you? But, you know, that's why we work closely with the governor's administration and the various mayors and the MBTA, depending on, it's not the only project I want to get done. There are many projects that I'm interested in pushing ahead, and that's what we do in politics and in government, is to try to work together cooperatively to come to a mutual understanding.
Well, when we have, you're being very diplomatic about that, but just to, for specifics, because this is an issue that would really affect thousands and thousands of commuters. When there's $5 billion in funding that's been earmarked for Massachusetts over the next 5 years, we're looking at the extension on the Green Line that would now be estimated at a cost of like $3 billion.
Yeah, so that's I don't think that number's going to happen. I think in the final analysis, the state will be able to whittle that down quite a bit. I've never believed that $3 billion number. At the same time, they have to do their work. They have to do their due diligence, and they will. And if they do and they move forward, again, the federal government has already said that they would share up to $1 billion worth of that project when the state itself said that it was worth a $2 billion project. Mm-hmm. So the state has to come up with either the other $1 billion or find ways to save that money, and I think they'll be able to do that.
So the money could be applied. You said it won't entirely be applied because you don't think the $3 billion will stick, but it could be applied to the extension. Does this mean that the extension is more likely because, as you're well aware, the State Transportation Board has not ruled out scrapping the entire project?
Yeah, not yet. I mean, like anything else, everybody in the state is trying to get their projects moved ahead, and I understand that. This is one that's also subject to a court order, though, that related to the big digs, and some of them got none of the benefit and a lot of the detriment through the big dig. And, you know, we'll see. I think the state will come through with its promise on the Green Line extension. I think there will be some scaling back of it, at least maybe on the quality of the stations, things like that. Maybe the timing may slip a little bit, but I really don't have much doubt that the state will fulfill its obligations. It's made certain promises. It would be awfully difficult for the Commonwealth to walk away from $1 billion. If they don't do the project, the $1 billion that the federal government's already promised, again, it's not part of this money. It's a different pot of money that's in addition to the $5 billion.
Right.
They would lose that $1 billion, which I would think would be probably a little irresponsible to walk away from that kind of a thing, because that money doesn't disappear. The Commonwealth can't use it on anything else. It goes back into the New Starts program. It goes to the next qualifying state. It will not be Massachusetts. There are other states that are more qualifying on their next project. And the Commonwealth have to go back to the drawing boards. Why they would want to walk away from $1 billion, I can't imagine, and therefore I don't think it would happen.
Just one more question about this issue. You probably hear a lot from people who drive in Massachusetts for the first time. I hear a lot from people, including those outside the country, who drive on our roads and think they are in horrible condition and worse condition than many of the countries that they come from, developed or in some cases even developing countries. It's tough for anybody to say they're in favor of raising taxes, but when we look at the taxes that we have, at least in the U.S., not even counting Massachusetts.
I have no problem at all favoring tax increases for the purposes of infrastructure.
So just for the purpose of our audience, let me just say this. The federal tax is 18.4 cents per gallon.
Yeah.
If you look at the U.K., $3.44 per gallon. We did the math on this. The U.S. has the second lowest gas tax among advanced economies.
That's right. Raised it in over 20 years.
And right now, the gas, the price of gasoline is probably what it was like 20 years
That's
ago.
Right. And just for those people who consider themselves so-called fiscal conservatives, the last time the gas tax was raised was when Ronald Reagan was the president and he doubled the gas tax, because that money is dedicated without question to infrastructure. People know where it goes. They know who's paying for it. They know how much they're paying for it, and most people don't have a problem with that. I mean, again, some people never want to pay taxes for anything, and they want free, good roads. That's just not a possibility in life.
So is this a starter at all in Congress?
Probably not. Nope. I mean, right now, Congress is controlled by people who any tax increase of any kind is just a non-starter. They're just the opposite. They think that all taxes are evil and government have nothing good to do. That's a significant and basic differences between the parties.
I want to talk about gun control for a bit with you. The president is this week unveiling new executive actions to limit the sale of guns. He's meeting today with the attorney general to review his options. Does Massachusetts stand as anything of a model in this effort for the country?
It should. If it doesn't, it should. We have some of the strongest, if not the strongest, gun control laws in the country, and our gun violence is below the average of the country, well below the average of the country, especially when you talk about other developed states versus some of the more rural states. And I would think that should be, but people take any statistic you want and they turn it into whatever they want. They hide behind their own personal interpretation of the Second Amendment, that somehow they think it means that restrictions can be put on at all, which of course is never what the court has said. Reasonable, thoughtful restrictions to keep guns out of the hands of a very small number of people in America, has always been accepted, and I hope always will be. I'm sure that if you follow the debate, you heard the last major item we talked about is keeping guns out of the hands of people who are on the no-fly list. And I just can't see how anybody can argue that that's a good thing to do. Now, you know, the only argument the opponents of that have come back with as well, the no-fly list is not a very good list. It's too many people on it.
Too many people, they're saying, who have not been really identified as terrorists, and they should have.
I happen to agree with that, but it was interesting that these very same people thought there was no problem with that just a year ago. But now that we say, well, that same list you won't let us fix because you're afraid of having a terrorist under your bed, now that same list that you won't let us fix, now you want to hide behind. Of course I don't want anybody on that list who doesn't belong there, but it has nothing to do with gun control. I don't want them there for any reason. But you can't have it both ways. Either the list is good and should be used, or the list is no good and shouldn't be used for anything. And my argument is, from what I know of this list, it certainly needs to be whittled down. There are several hundred thousand Americans on that list. No one knows how they get on it. No one knows how you get off it. That's a problem in and of itself. In the meantime, under the current situation, I would rather be a little bit more cautious than not and begin and simply say anybody on that list cannot own a gun, and let's simultaneously work to make that list more accurate.
Again, we're talking to Michael Capuano. We will keep you for just two more minutes. I want to ask you very briefly about the Syrian refugee resettlement in the U.S. and in Massachusetts. Republicans in Congress have called for a block on the president's plan to bring about 10,000 refugees here. Say that again?
That's obscene to me. To me, it strikes me as anti-American. No one is suggesting that anyone with terrorist ties should come to this country. Refugees take anywhere from 18 to 24 months at a minimum to be able to get through the system that we currently have. Certainly any refugees coming out of Syria are going to go through a more stringent process than refugees coming out of, say, Cuba or any other place. Just last year, the big boogeyman last year was Iran. Oh my God, Iran is a terrible country. Everybody in Iran is terrible. Let's bomb them. Let's attack them. Yet last year, we let 3,000 refugees from Iran into this country, and the very same people complaining had nothing to say about it. All of a sudden, they think they have a political football, and they're more than happy to, in my opinion, take a tact that is anti-American. No one is suggesting that we should weaken the standards. I'm happy to discuss thoughtful people having suggestions on how to make the system even tighter, maybe take a little longer. That's not a problem. But the idea of saying that this country will not participate in taking refugees from another area of the world simply because of the country they come from, to me, is totally anathema.
And does Massachusetts have a role to play here?
I hope so, and I think so. Yes, we do. We should
not
do
yet,
our
though.
Part as well.
Yeah, which is not happening right now.
We hope that will change in the not too distant future. Again, I don't think we can't do everybody's part, but we should do our part, and I feel confident that Massachusetts will.
Congressman Michael Capuano represents the 7th District of Massachusetts. Happy New Year, and thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thanks, Lisa. Always a pleasure.
Stay with us. There is much more ahead. I'm Lisa Mullins. You're listening to Radio Boston.